You got the right stings there, mate. I don't want you to be playing any of my
preparations, everything. And as you can see,
should I have done that, or did you just?
I feel like
reflex action. You know what? I'm really impressed. Whenever you put that back to normal, you always put it back to my tech guide stings. I've never ever turned that on, and it's had the two black stings there.
Thank you for noticing.
Considerate of you.
However, I can't take credit for something I don't do.
All right.
When you power down, the device,
it goes back to number one.
Goes back to number one.
Righto. Well. I'll take that back then. You accepted that under false pretenses. Yeah,
no, I accepted and then corrected.
A very high opinion of you, but now it wasn't necessary because it just doesn't.
That was the thing that was holding me above the line, and now I'm just...
For those people wondering what the hell we're talking about, we use the Rodecaster. Shout out to our mates at Rode. The Rodecaster has a screen where it allows, you know, the music we play between our segments, there's some screens that you can now customise. And because I use this for Tech Guide as well as for Two Blokes When Trevor's Here, we have to change screens so that the pads correspond to the right show.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got Tech Guide.
I've got two pages of Tech Guide stings. How many have we got?
I've got two pages. I'm so good.
I mean, is that the voice you put on at school, mate, trying to tease someone, were you?
The other day I was... did the 6PR with Simon, and I can't remember what it was, but I did a voice, and he goes, "Whose voice is that?" I went, "It's my wife." And I said, "Mate, it's pretty safe. She's not listening to this podcast or 6PR.
Speaking of which, someone mentioned, I think it was me, I was all my wife. My wife mentioned something, saying, someone was saying that you mentioned me on the podcast. I said, "I mention you all the time on the podcast." She said, "Do you? What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, it's lots of things."
How would she know?
You're going to have to listen.
Well, hang on. How did she find out?
No, I think someone said something to her.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. So there's a spy in the ranks.
No. Someone just said, "Oh, I like your husband's podcast and he does with Trevor." And
listen, for the record, dear listener, this is a club. What happens on tour stays on tour. Okay, don't go snitching.
No, but I said, look, I've said nothing bad. I said, I always praise you. It's 95% praise.
It's like Gary McGregor from Samsung. You know, it's all well and good, Gary, to say that you listen.
Yes.
But,
He listens.
Oh, no. So what, a couple of weeks ago after we had that briefing with him, we said that on the show. We said that Nathan just feeds him all the info. Yeah. And he texted me. He said, "Listen, just so you know, I do listen."
He does listen.
So, good man, Gary.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get cracking with episode 452.
Welcome to Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Not a bad price.
With Trevor Long from EFTM.com.
Really handy device.
And Stephen Fennec from techguide.com.au.
Thanks to the good people at Netgear and Arlo. Trevor Long with you here in Stephen Fennec's home theatre, the Tech Guide Theatre, where we do every second show, basically, because we've gotten to a very good habit of rotating.
Yes, we do.
Between when Stephen pulls out his passport port and when I don't complain about such a thing, because it's just travel to me.
It's the same distance from my place to your place your place to my place.
And this is the most travel we're going to do in 2020, you should be liking it.
Be thankful, I am actually.
Should we ring Alan Joyce and see if we can rack up some frequent fly points for you every time you come to my joint?
I'd be triple platinum right now.
Strap in, ladies and gentlemen, for episode 452, because I have a feeling this is going to be an interesting
one.
We've got
some solid opinions in this show.
We have to start with the ACCC media Facebook drama. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Google releasing this open letter on the Google homepage and YouTube, like literally pop-up messages about how this new regulation would impact the way they operate, how search works and all these things.
Sharing
basically
data and all that,
drumming up support for them in the hope that more submissions would go to the ACCC, because the submission guidelines closed last Friday for the ACCC's draft regulations around the media.
Yeah, they're now finished.
That's right. So, and what we're talking about, for those quickly on background, the ACCC spent 18 months investigating the market dominance of Facebook and Google and how they essentially make billions of dollars out of advertising, somewhat off the back of content that media companies produce, and is that an imbalance that therefore should require them to pay some money to media companies to balance out the books?
Yep.
And that draft code went up. YouTube took a little while, but they put it up. But what's fascinating to me is that after the submissions closed, Facebook broke their silence and came out in a press release to We the Australian Media, pointing to a blog post from their Australian boss, But at that exact same time in the United States, a bunch of interviews that the American boss of Facebook News had done with American news organizations went live as well. So this was a strategic plan from Facebook. And it said, in simple terms, if this regulation goes through, we will no longer allow the sharing of news, both domestically and internationally, on Facebook Australia's
in
news
Australia,
feed.
Yeah.
So every Australian user, 11 or 12 million of them, whatever there are, will be no longer able to share news on Facebook.
And if they do, they'll. I don't know how they're going to police this, or it'll just bounce back. It won't work. So what? And what?
They updated their terms.
How do you know what's a news site?
They updated their terms and conditions just minutes later, saying, you know, our terms and conditions as of October 1 say that we can essentially vet content. Yeah. And you can assume that they're going to have like a whitelist of domains, blacklist, whitelist, where, you know, smh.com.au, Daily Telegraph, they're all in there. So if you're sharing articles from those domains, they won't be shareable. Okay. Now,
there's a few ways to into this, though. There's a few ways into this. Well, first of all, I think that ACCC's intention, their intentions are good. The ACCC is trying to go into bat for news media companies because what's the stat? 70% of digital advertising is either Facebook or Google, which is, that's, you can call that a monopoly, right? So ACCC's stance is that if they're making that money off the sweat of Australian newsrooms, let's say, partially. So their intention is, okay, well, you're making all this money off the back of their hard work. They deserve some compensation. That's kind of boils it down to the simplest terms. The reaction that I saw from this was immediate horror, thinking, oh, well, what's this? Well, this is like censorship. We can't share news. We can't do this.
Yep.
And in fact, some journos, tech journos, who I won't name, said, beautiful, bring it on. It'll stop all the fake news. It'll stop all this other crap. And a lot of people were saying that, okay, now it'll force people to go to these actual sites to read the news.
Yeah.
So, but here's the conundrum, right? It's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. In my opinion, I think that Facebook and Google, it's a necessary evil, if you can call it that. You can't, if you're online, they're like these massive huge figures you can't avoid online. And if you are a news site, and like us, like you, like EFTM, techguide.com.au, I rely on Facebook clicks.
Yep.
The only payment I want from Facebook is the eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the quandary I have. My initial reaction to this announcement from Facebook was, you know what? Good on you for having a very clear stance. Because Google, it was just a whole bunch of
Google
rubbish.
Google was a scare campaign.
Whereas
plain
Facebook,
and simple.
Facebook was just like, you know what? This may be scary, and you may think it's about bluffing, but this is our position.
Yeah.
Full stop. Now, fast forward a year, and Facebook no longer allows people to. And let's talk about us as I believe we are news sites. Now, in the ACCC's eyes, that may not be the case because there's a whole
too small.
No, so I've read the regulations and it's all about editorial policies, da 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 da, and revenue. Now, I think I don't know your business, but I'm pretty sure your revenue would meet the criteria. And I think that it would only take 10 minutes for me to write editorial policies. In fact, I've done it before in applying for government grants and things. I've got editorial policies if I want them to be published.
Yeah.
But let's just work on the assumption that we are news sites. Mm. So in a year from now, Rob, Craig, any of our amazing listeners, they see a great review that Stephen's done or a piece of news.
Yep.
And they copy the address or they click the share button.
Click the share button, yeah.
And they go to Facebook and they go to share it and it says, no, you can't. Mm. Well, how's that good for us?
It's not.
That's not good for me at all.
Not at all. Not at all. Like, you know.
So that's us. That's me and you, right? So I can tell you, I get 10% of my traffic from Facebook. Now, maybe more for you.
I get more than that, yeah. Yeah, I do.
But, you know, 10% is what I get now, and I think a large portion of my audience don't just go randomly to EFTM.com. Mm. I think they wait to see something on Facebook.
Yeah, of course,
right? I think there is a bunch of people who go there every day and go, "Oh, he's done nothing today, the lazy bum." But there's
but
also people who wait for the feed and the comment.
I've said this to you before, and this is reality. Facebook, to many people, is the internet.
That's right.
That's their internet. So this is their, it's like when you sit down, 6 o'clock news, Peter Overton comes on, he gives you the news.
Yes, that's right.
Facebook is that for people.
That's
right.
They
go on Facebook, what's happening today? They don't go to techguide.com.au, although some do. They go to EFTM directly. They don't go to 9.com.au. They don't go to news.com.au, Daily Telegraph. They don't go through 15 different news sites. They'd wait for it to pour into their news.
That's right.
So that's kind of the
I find it staggering. And most of the radio conversations I had this week were along the lines of this. For a start, this is hypocrisy from Facebook in one sense, because what they're planning to do is rid their site of essentially true news when their site is riddled with fake news, which will essentially become dominant. So you're going to have Pete Evans sprouting his rubbish without any fear or favour.
But again, though, if Pete Evans, as a Facebook user, types that his crap in a post, that's going to get through.
That's right.
But so it's not going to stop that then.
No, that's what I'm saying. This does nothing but amplify the conspiracy theory, fake news, an image. Well, and there's going to be screenshots of news articles. There's going to be all this shit happen, right? But the bigger problem for me is, here's my fundamental issue. I get what the ACCC is doing. I also understand why the media organisations are struggling because of the dominance in an advertising sense of these companies. Rich, remember, these media companies are getting a lot of clicks, but they're not making a lot of money off the clicks, right?
Okay.
So there's a revenue disparity.
Just on that, just hold that thought, right? There was an interesting stat in this Facebook thing.
2.3 billion.
Where they said 2.3 billion clicks from Facebook, from Facebook's newsfeed to Australian news websites were sent for free. Facebook values this volume of clicks for Australian publishers at more than $200 million. So if you wanted to buy those clicks from Facebook, it would have cost you $200 million.
Don't get me started on Facebook and their algorithm, because I hate, with a passion, the fact that I can work really hard to build up an audience. 13,000 and something, 15,307 people last time I looked.
Yep.
And when I post something on Facebook, it goes to 2,000 people.
Yeah.
That's crap. There's 13,000 people that chose, 15,000 people that chose to like EFTM, but they don't get to see the content.
Do you know why, though?
Yeah,
because they want you to boost it. They want you to pay money. That's right.
I pay money. Yeah. I pay to boost my audience, just grow my audience, and I still can't reach them all. So park that for a minute.
Yeah.
But, okay, so in a year from now, I'm on the internet, and I'm at, Canberra Times or Sydney Morning Herald, and I see a great article. And I go, that's very interesting. I think my brother would like to see that, and so would my sister. So rather than send it to them directly, I'm going to put it on Facebook, and they can all read it. Yeah. I put it on Facebook, and it goes, ba-boom.
Yeah. Yep.
How does the Herald benefit from that blocking? It doesn't make sense. Mm. So, and how does Facebook... my bigger challenge with all this, and I know we're talking around in circles, and I apologise, it's not really formed thoughts because it's complex, but my bigger challenge is, if the Herald don't want... They want money for Facebook having their content, but in most cases, the media organisation chooses to share the content there.
Yeah, they've got share buttons. Yeah,
their audience chooses to share it there purely for the benefit of sharing the content. Okay. Facebook doesn't ask for that content. No. They just simply...
It just happens,
It's just an avenue for them, which goes back to your point of...
Here's the thing.
It's just the internet.
Here's the thing, though. If it's such an issue, and look, I'm a big advocate, mate, of if I'm going to do a job, I want to get paid for it. Nothing for nothing is my policy, right? If you want me to do my job, to write for you, do something, I'm going to expect payment. So if the news sites, if they're saying, oh, look, newsrooms are doing it tough and everything, and that's true. But if news sites value their content so much, then put a price on it. Charge people to read it. You go to news.com.au, everything's free. You go to dailytelegraph.com, even when it's shared on Facebook, which still happens, you press on the link, paywall, nothing. You want to read that content, you pay for it. And that's their model.
So of those two, which one's just under this new model where, let's say the agreement is 0.01 cents per click, right? Or something like that. Does Facebook have to pay News Limited when someone clicks on a Daily Telegraph article when it's a paywall? What? Why?
I know. It's strange. But look, Daily Telegraph think we value our content. We want people to pay for it. It's good content. we pay a lot of money for it to create it, so we want people to pay money to enjoy it, to consume it. And so if that's the model going forward to get around this, if there are media companies complaining, oh, they're crying poor, then if you back your content, if your content is so good, put a price on it. If you want people, if you want
payment.
How many
do you subscribe to?
New sites? None.
Me neither.
Me neither. Because you know why, but mate? Because I, A, worked for those organisations, and B, came through when all of this came online for free. So I'm not going to go back and for something I've been having for free, then suddenly going to pay money. Maybe. There might be an occasion where there's some red-hot site that I want to be a member of. Okay, I'll pay a few bucks a month. But when this news is flowing through and they're getting the kickback from advertisers from my patronage of their website, that they're able to charge, you know, the ABC's website or Channel 9's website has 1 million hits a month. They can say to advertisers, we've got 1 million hits a month. It's going to cost you $20,000 to advertise. That's how TV ratings work. Are they going to charge you to watch TV? TV is a free service. You've got all you need is a television. Are they going to suddenly say, well, hang on a minute, Channel 9's going to say, if you want to watch us for the next 4 hours, it's going to cost you $20. Yeah. You'll go, I'm going to turn to another channel.
Yeah.
So this is kind of swimming in the same circle here.
And your problem is you got the Daily Mail who just steal content.
Yeah,
right? And so even if it's behind a paywall, it gets put in front of a paywall, which makes it hard for those organisations.
Here's what I reckon we should
do. So there's a bigger issue with the whole thing.
I reckon that rather than saying, like, if this goes through, this could hurt us. I want to be on a list where I don't want any payment from
Correct.
Facebook.
Correct. I want to be on that list too.
I want to volunteer to say, listen, if you're making a list of the companies in favour of this, the companies against it, the companies who want to just keep it as it is now, I don't want payment.
Bring me the clicks, baby.
I'm on there.
Yes.
Because I want to stand on the shoulders of a giant and get the clicks.
Yes.
So I liken this to remember when all the food delivery apps became popular. And then everyone started noticing that there were stories about how they charge places up to 30% for the order and there's a delivery charge. And I remember having this conversation with my mate, good bloke, Pete from Banks Meadow Pizza, great bloke. And I asked him about the delivery service apps and I said, mate, they take a fair bit out. He goes, yeah, they take up to 30% of the thing. And I said, how does that work? How do you handle that? He goes, look, I never forget what he said. He goes, I can't afford not to be on it. Because if I'm not on that app, the people that are sitting at home on a lounge are going to click on the next pizza shop and go buy their pizza.
Yeah.
So something is better than nothing for me. And he's got a lot of volume through the app. So I think that's kind of the same thing that applies here with this. I want the people to come to my website, whether it's through Facebook. I don't want them to pay me. I just want them to direct people to my website. And I think news sites, most of them you'd find, I haven't heard from many of them this week, most of them you'd find would think, well, we're okay with how it is right now. Just leave it.
The problem is News Limited and Nine own a lot of
big
websites,
chunk,
right?
Yeah, they've got 2GB and all that. Yeah.
Nine own Pedestrian and all that. Like, there's
Sydney
a lot,
Herald,
there's a lot that they own. And so those are the sites that are in the radar here because those are the companies that were fighting the government for this.
Are they doing it tough, you reckon? Are they doing it tough at the moment?
Yeah, I mean,
I know. There's a lot of changes going on.
They could be doing better. I think that's their point.
Okay.
Given how much traffic they've got, so I think the argument from a Fairfax or Nine and a news perspective is, mate, we are getting millions of hits, but it's bloody hard to sell it. Mm. Because what's happening is, you've got to remember, we work in a very niche and exclusive place where we can say to a company, we've got an audience, it's this big. No, I know it's not that big, but it's very solid and rusted on.
But I mentioned, whenever I'm pitching advertisers, I say, look, here's my monthly thing, here's my impressions, I've got this much social media reach on my 2GB. I sell them a package. I sell them the Facebook reach,
I understand.
Twitter, everything.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is we can essentially, we essentially charge a rate that creates our business for what it is.
Yeah.
What happens in the million hit world, you know, is there's a piece of display real estate and it gets offered programmatically so that when someone wants to buy, you know, men 30 to 45, they go, well, there's X number of these on these sites and there's X number of these on Facebook and the click and view rate is cheaper on Facebook, so we're going to send all our dollars there. Mm. And essentially, Facebook and Google, you know, price media companies out of the advertising market. Now,
because they undercut them in price, like
because it's programmatic, they're not. They don't set prices, right?
But they also, but it's also about that targeting as well. Like you want to target, like I want to target males 40 to 50 and that live in this area. That's the sort of metrics that a site can't offer.
Yeah, and
but Facebook can.
Well, they try. They work really hard to do it. But I think the issue is that essentially the volume of revenue is not as high as it might well could have or should have been. And it's a very difficult business adjustment for the media organizations to work under these new situations. My concern is that this feels like an Uber situation. As you mentioned, the food apps, I think of it like the taxis and the Uber. And a lot of editorials went around, you know, 3 or 4 years ago saying, you know, innovate or die. And taxi companies were like, well, we're trying. And the taxi companies, look at them now. They're all really hard trying to innovate.
Yeah. Well, look at 1-3 cabs. They've got apps.
Rideo and all these things. Yeah, like, it's just a bit too late, folks.
Yeah.
You should have spent that money 5 years ago. Uber was in America a year or two before it was here. You should have seen it coming, but you didn't. Bad luck.
Now, it's like still planning for your bushfire protection when the house is on fire. You've got to do it beforehand.
Here's my suggestion. If this goes through. And Facebook blocks news. I don't think Facebook dies because of it, because I don't think people give a rat.
Of course not.
Same number of people will open Facebook. The same number of food and fitness photos will be shared.
Yep.
Conspiracies will be a problem, but you know Facebook will continue, which means they'll still have 11 million odd people and they'll still have all the money, right? They'll still be getting the advertising revenue. So you've then got this problem with the news site. So my suggestion is that every news site works together. And that won't happen.
So like
that's
build a consortium. Or
they should build
But they're competition. They compete against each other. Why would they want to do that?
But that's what's happening now is on Google. When you go to news.google.com, you don't see all of News Limited stuff. You don't see all of Nine stuff. You see everything in one place.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So what they need to do, there's two things that I think will happen. And one of them, it's built around personalization and aggregation. Mm. Okay? Now, personalization is something that news sites probably are doing in some part and should be doing more of. I looked at this 5 years ago at SBS when we were redesigning different things in the web there, where essentially when you go to news.com.au or the Herald, if you and I both go there, it won't look the same. Mm. We've talked about this with Netflix.
Yeah,
you know how we talk about Netflix?
Different thumbnails.
Different thumbnails?
Yep.
The sites should not look the same because it should be what you want to see. Like sport should be right at the top for Stephen Fenwick.
Yeah.
It should be right down the bottom for Amanda Long.
And Star Wars.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah, like it should feed you what you want.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Those sites need to change. As far as I can see, news websites are still acting like newspapers.
Yes.
Where this is the headline.
Yeah, well,
this is the feature.
Yeah.
This is our front page.
To a degree, you're right. Because I tell you, and I can speak from experience here, I worked at News Limited for 25 years, and when the internet became a thing, we were so ingrained with our newspaper training that we were a little bit clunky. I think the Herald got the vibe better than the News did. We were sort of still thinking like a newspaper. Whereas, you know, newspaper is, here's what we think you should be interested in.
In the same as Peter Overton, here's what we think's the lead story and the second story and the third story.
The internet, though, is you deciding what you, like, what, if a story goes well, you put that to the top and let the
This is why personalization matters, right? So what happens is a website, a computer can go, when Stephen Fenwick, or when this IP address, when this computer, when it comes to this website, it spends more time on sports stories than anywhere else. It spends more time on tech stories. It spends more time on these kind of political stories. And it learns those things about you. And so when you come back fresh to the page, it doesn't give you what some editor or some there are homepage editors. That's a job.
That's
a bullshit job, right? Because it shouldn't exist. Sorry to any homepage editors listening, but it should not exist because the homepage should edit itself, but dynamically and personally for every person. Mm. And so the second part of that is aggregation. Those sites should all go, okay, look, we've got the Nine News app. It's awesome. We've got the Herald app. We've got the Daily Telegraph app. We've got all these great apps.
Yep.
We need one app that is Australian news. And
Apple News trying to do that?
But Apple News, separate story. And a similar problem where it's great aggregation and it's personalization. It's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But it needs to be done by...
Because you tick all the boxes, say, I like this, I like this.
It needs to be done by the big companies. They need to go, you know what? Together, maybe David could beat Goliath.
But there's another side to that though, mate. And this is an argument between... And again, me... heavy newspaper background here.
Yep.
The newspapers were the news devices that delivered issues, right?
Yeah.
The issues, real newspapers, real issue driven vehicles, and you think about how a website can't really achieve that.
Yeah.
If what you say happens where it's dynamically adjusted to you, this really important issue won't come through because it might be to do with politics, might to do with medicine, it might be not something that's not that sexy, you know, but it's important. Like a good example is the telly years ago did a campaign on all the P-plate drivers killed in accidents, right? So they built all this awareness and it was a really good campaign. TV's picked it up. Where would that fit in on a website? Like how do you make that an issue on a website? It's tough. It's this dynamic. Okay, so I love sport. If it's me, my website would come up. It'd be sport, entertainment, bit of the technology. It'd be all there.
Yeah.
That if very important issue would be at the very bottom of the page.
But that's an I agree and understand what you're saying. But I think it's just how you work it and how you play it. I think that what needs to happen is a sports star needs to be brought into that campaign so that sits in those right places.
Maybe. But it's just, this, like, news is a big thing. It's a big beast, this massive machine with a lot of moving parts. And for Facebook just to come out and say, you know what, we're not going to run any of it. But the interpretation, what's news? Is a story about a cat getting stuck up a tree and rescued by a firefighter, really feel-good story that's written by 9.com.au, is that news? Are you going to ban that?
You know, in the same way that, let's be honest, we're not news sites. I would say 30% of what I do is even classed as news, right?
Yeah.
Because so we're about to talk about Samsung stuff. I class all of that as news because they're not reviews.
Exactly.
Announcements. I've started differentiating every piece of content in one of two buckets.
Yep.
It's either news or reviews.
Yep, same.
Just so I can find it, right?
Same. Yep.
And I think that, you know, it's kind of wrong to class a TV review as anything to do with news. But why should... Exactly so that right. should be shared.
Yeah, exactly.
In
yeah.
this new world. But as you say, I'm here waving with my hand up.
I'm in. Leave don't worry out. About paying me.
Hey, Google.
Yeah.
The same.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't want anything. Don't want any money. I just want the eyeballs and the clicks, please.
If you want to send all the people to me...
Yeah.
Because,
if Channel 9 don't want them, I'll take them.
You know... It's a bugbear of mine the way SEO, and we talked about this the other week, SEO and stuff is such a manipulated thing.
Yeah.
When Stephen and I, let's say Apple iPhone or Samsung Galaxy or whatever, we got the phone, you review it, and you publish a review, and you search for it on Google, every friggin' American website, plus then your News Limited and your Fairfax
Herald,
stuff, they're all way above us because, rightly so, they get more traffic, there's... On an algorithmic sense, they're more reputable. Yep. I get that. I understand. Yep. But our reviews are sometimes faster. They're like they're on embargo. They're on time.
Yep.
They're as independent, if not more than many. You know, there's a reason they should be higher. So, look, if you all want to nick off, I'm waiting.
Yeah, same. Yeah, please take me.
So,
I
would love to sit down with Google and say, listen, I don't actually support what you're doing in terms of the aggressive kind of stance,
but
I'm here for the conversation about what happens next.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I don't want to think, look, I can see the ACCC's motives here, but I think, and Facebook, they in their statement, there was one good line that whole statement was actually quite well written. I really liked it. Yeah, it was saying how
I'd never heard of the bloke before.
It misunderstands the dynamics of the internet and will do damage to the very news organisations the government is trying to protect. In other words, they're going to be robbed of readers because of this if this action goes through.
I think that's the best bit of that thing was.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense how this benefits. The media. I actually don't know how this benefits the media.
But he also went on to say, if I can just quote this here, he says that the ACCC presumes that Facebook benefits most in its relationship with publishers, when in fact the reverse is true. News represents a fraction of what people see in their news feeds, not a significant source of revenue for us. We still recognise that news provides a vitally important role in society and democracy, which is why we offer free tools and training to help media companies reach an audience many times larger than they have previously. Which is the whole idea of this.
I think that resonates with you and me.
Yeah.
Because that is 100% how we operate.
Like I said, I want to stand on the shoulders of giants and them to help me. That's why I post to social media, Twitter. Twitter would be laughing their guts out right now. Where Twitter going to get
not
out
really, because the minister hasn't determined that they're big enough to be a
right,
concern.
Okay, because I'm thinking if Facebook and Google are the only ones.
They're essentially not making enough money.
Twitter isn't. Right.
They're not taking enough advertising dollars out of Australia.
Right.
To be relevant.
Right, okay.
You know?
Fair enough.
So that's kind of
anyway,
why that operates
share
that
share
way.
Share the Twitter as well.
So look, I don't know. I asked this on the AFTN podcast. I'd be curious to people's views.
But it was pretty volatile. Some of the reviews, I mentioned them again, the journos that came out, they said, mate, good. They were saying, good. I hope it happens.
Who do they write for?
They were sort of, they're not, they're more freelance than,
okay.
than
yeah, right, okay. Because I saw a couple of the big sites write big things, and it was very much in favour of, well, the media organisations, right? Yeah. But
no, but, they, but their stance wasn't about, wasn't a financial thing. Their stance was all about, okay, it's going to stop the bull crap. It's going to stop all the fake stuff.
Well,
it's going to stop
worse.
All of that. That was there. You know, people are going to have to go to us. I think one of the journalists said, good, it'll make people go to the news sites and find it out for themselves rather than relying on other people to share what they're interested in politically.
Unfortunately, that's way too old school. You know, that level of thought process is just way too old school. You know, Dan Illick, who is a comedian and a content creator, he asked a question on Facebook the other day of his
brother Mark's a big fan too.
Massive fan. Yeah. Thank you, Mark, for all your support, mate. You're a good man.
He's a Qantas pilot. Yes, so he's got a bit of time on his hands right now.
He came to the office and played with the flight sim the other
day.
Did
he really? Good luck to him. Oh, right. Okay. He's getting a bit of training in, was he?
He's using the Logitech yoke.
Oh, mate,
now,
you should have got him to write your review, mate.
Of the yoke, he's going to help
you. Oh,
with.
Happy
yes,
days.
Absolutely.
Mate. I should get my brother-in-law to help out. Shout out to Anthony.
Dan asked the question, where do kids get their news?
Yeah.
And a few people chimed in, and I said, mate, kids don't care about news. Like, you know, kids,
if it ain't on Snapchat, they don't give a crap.
It's not news. Like, I said, mate, I don't want to break it to you. Like, he goes, what YouTube channels? I said, mate, you know, Unspeakable, Mr. the Beast, Mariah Elizabeth, Dude Perfect.
Yeah.
This is what kids are watching.
Yeah, watching,
there ain't no
watching,
news there,
they're
right?
They're watching toys being unboxed.
Nothing to do with news. Harry asked to watch Behind the News the other day, BTN, which is great. You know, they still watch that at school.
Yeah.
But other than that, mate, there ain't no news being consumed.
No,
so
they hear the news from me.
We actually need to think about that kind of process. What is the next 10 years of news and how it evolves for our children to make sure they are actually
how they can access
news?
It. Yeah,
exactly. And not getting just memes.
Not getting just filtered stuff from Facebook that people share. Because here's the thing,
which
right?
is also why personalization is bad.
Yeah, your friends on your newsfeed are your filters. They're your filters.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not all my friends are like-minded. They share some stuff that I just totally disagree with.
I block them.
Right, yeah. So, like, they're, you know, and they're also, you know, it that's what flavours that what they share. It's that they agree with it. They're not going to share something they totally disagree with. If it's something politically that they agree with, they're going to share it. So your view, if you're a Facebook user, your view is coloured by their judgment.
I'm exhausted, are you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot to take in.
Well, it's a big issue because, like, this is our very lives here. The internet's our life now.
Yeah. Yep.
People live, it's their lives on the internet. Facebook is their internet. Google is their internet.
I'll give you one last controversial statement.
Oh, it hasn't been controversial so far.
News.com.au
yeah.
should not be owned by News Limited.
Really?
Yep.
And who should own them?
So
I'll put my hand
no,
up.
No, the domain name.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
Oh, no, I'll give you the history there. 10, 15 years ago, you were not able to register what was called a generic term or a generic word as a .com.au. Mm. It was just not possible. It was not allowed. It was not legal. They were blocked. All these words were banned. I'll give you an example. My father-in-law runs a company called Ribbons Presentations. He makes ribbons, you know, trophies and stuff.
Yeah.
He couldn't have ribbons.com.au because it wasn't available. It wasn't allowed to be had. Oh. You couldn't buy it. But then in, I'm going to say, 2002... the Australian Domain Name Registry went, rightio, we're going to make all the domain names available. There's going to be an auction. Yeah? So we bid for Ribbons. No one else bid. We got it at the normal kind of domain name price.
Right.
News.com.au was owned by News Limited before that auction.
Well, it's News Limited. So they've got some kind of claim to it.
It shouldn't matter. Yeah. It was a generic term. I don't know how they got it, but they shouldn't have had it.
Uncle Rupert.
Right now, well, yeah, I don't want to allege
Uncle
that.
Uncle Rupert.
But yeah, Right now would be the perfect time for that to be the Australian news website.
Well,
imagine an aggregation of all the news
but how in one place. How do you run that? Who runs that?
Mate.
How do you do that?
All these companies chip in for a few home page editors.
That'd be like you saying, okay, all car manufacturers, let's just produce one car for the world.
This would be like saying all car manufacturers, you can't have all that real estate. It's going to be one dealership. It's your job to sell people. When they walk in the door, you walk into the door on Parramatta Road, Auto Alley, you walk in the door and it's their job to put the...
Like a big shopping
mall. That Audi that I've got that's green, you'd put that there because it'd attract an eyeball.
Yep.
And all you need is an eyeball for the sales rep for Audi to go, mate, isn't it amazing? It obviously comes in other colours. Did you want to have a test drive?
Yeah, fair enough.
That's the aggregation concept.
I think what news sites want, including us, is the path of least resistance. We want to get our content to our readers however we can, whether it's directly through Facebook, through Google. And if I had to funnel my content through this
no, but you don't have to. It's not a site. It's not. No. You would still have your site and everything.
Yeah.
But if people wanted to discuss, so if you look at it right now and say that people are discovering stuff through news.google.com, then I say bring it on. That's great. I want to be a part of that. I want to be part of any funnel, any aggregation.
Didn't Facebook say that they're setting up Facebook News?
Yeah, they've set that up in America and it's hugely successful, but they're not bringing it here.
We also hope to bring Facebook News to Australia, a feature of on our platform exclusively for news, where we pay publishers for their content.
Yeah.
So they're not going to do that now.
Huh.
Well, wouldn't that solve the problem?
No, because the news they put that at the table when the negotiations were happening for this draft code.
Right.
And the media companies went, yeah, no, that's not what we want. There's obviously not enough money.
Do you think, like, bottom line, right? Fair Dinkum Department, to quote the famous Chippy, what's your gut saying about the ACCC? I reckon they're trying for too much here.
I think so, yeah.
My gut is that they're trying to sort of...
I think it's overreach. I think it's government overreach because of a very good lobbying campaign by the media organisations.
Do you reckon media organisations are doing look ixnay on the payment to the ACCC? Would there be news organisations, listen, ACCC, back off, mate.
No.
You don't want to...
No, because they're all, like, they are neck deep in this.
So who are the news organisations that are in favour of this? Are in favour of the ACCC side?
Pretty much any of the big ones.
All of them?
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's just me and you at the moment that aren't.
Well, I think there'd be others, I reckon, that realise
I'm talking the big ones.
Yeah.
And the ABC wouldn't be.
But hang on, if you're a big one, you're a big player.
Like, no, but they're not making as much money as they need and want.
Okay, like how many, I'll quote a movie here, how many yachts do you want to water ski behind?
Yeah.
You know, it's Wall Street. Like, what do they want?
They want more money. They want a bigger slice of the pie.
So they want more, they want Facebook and Google to make less and they want them to make more.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
You've just nailed it.
Bottom line.
That's 100% the bottom line.
Okay. So.
And they think that Google and Facebook only make money because of them.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
No,
that is what I need sold to me. I need someone to explain to me how they believe that if you call it, let's call it $5 billion for Facebook and $5 billion for Google, right? How is that attributed to news? Oh, mate, Google makes money through AdWords.
But they're also...
placed near and above things. And they have an aggregation news site which sends traffic to people. Facebook makes money through boosting posts and doing stuff that media organisations are doing themselves. I don't see it. I really don't see it.
I don't either. Yeah, I think it's sort of, the pie is only so big and your slice of the pie is what's at stake here.
Yeah,
and the media companies
have been put on a diet. Now, if my wife said to me, that chocolate cake there, you can only have a 1 centimetre slice in terms of the width on the diameter. And I'd be like, listen, I'm having a quarter of that friggin' cake. And
you don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, and this is like the ACCC saying...
You've never, ever said that to your wife.
This is like the ACCC saying, you can have your full quarter, mate. We're gonna get it for you. Despite the fact that there's 50 kids in the room who all want their piece of the pie, I'm still going to get my big piece. It doesn't work that way anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, there's more kids at the party now, so my slice is not as big.
I understand this. Like it's like news is like any other industry. Like if you who's going to regulate the cafe industry? His cafe is closer to the railway station than mine. Why is he making more money than me?
Yeah.
Or you know, like his restaurant's in the better part of the food court, and I'm at the back end. What's the go there? So, how many factors do you want to...
But think about how annoyed people get about the interaction or the interruption of news with advertising content. So, I've seen people get the shits with, a news story on the 6 o'clock news that, you know, it's about one company or one thing, and they go, it's an ad.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, most of the time, from what I know, they've never paid for the thing. Yeah. They just happen to have a really good relationship with that company, and they probably got it offered as an exclusive. So they're the only people doing the story.
Yeah, it's newsworthy.
But it's not a payment.
Yeah.
But if you wanted payment media organizations to make more money, it would require them to do more content that relates more closely to corporate content.
I'll go back to what I said before. If you value your content that much, charge people to read it. Charge them. If the Herald is complaining to Facebook, we're not going to make as much money, then charge people $5 a month to read your site. Well, they do anyway, don't they? The Herald's got a certain number of free clicks, and then charge people money. If you value your content so much and you want to make more money, back your content. Because guess what will happen? If they put a paywall up, their readership will halve. So a site now that's free, put it this way, if I charge people $1 a month to read Tech Guide, I'd lose half my readership.
I think you'd lose more.
There you go. So if you back your content that much, if your staff is that good, if your content is that great, if your exclusives are that red hot, then back yourself. And you're getting the traffic from Facebook. A lot of people directed, mate. I get a lot of traffic from Facebook. So it's 6 of one, half of the other. Yes, they want Facebook to make less. They want to make more. So, Facebook have been sort of doing this for a while, bringing traffic to your website. And what's the answer here? It's still such a concept that it's hard to get your head around it.
Really hard. I can't wait to see what happens next. We've spent a lot of time talking about it.
We have, AG.
And I don't think we've really solved the problem. But I think everyone will have an opinion. We'd love to hear your views. Jump on the Twitter. At Stephen Fennick, at Trevor Long, # Ziggy Zaggy, or hit us up on any of our other channels. You're listening to Two Blokes Talking Tech.
In other news, Samsung launched some products. They launched, we had the Galaxy Fold 2 officially announced earlier this week, and I've got to say, mate, I haven't even held this in my hand yet. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Have you had it in your hand?
No.
I'm a fan already.
Yeah.
I told you this weeks ago. Okay. I'm a fan already. The Z Fold 2. Looking forward to getting it hopefully soon.
Can I admit something?
What's that?
I missed that it was called the Z Fold. Completely missed that.
You missed it? What?
I missed it.
What do you mean?
I just called it the Galaxy Fold 2.
Wow.
I missed the Z.
In all your stories?
Yeah.
In the last couple of weeks? Or just this one?
Just this, this device. Because last year's wasn't called the Z Fold.
No.
It's just called the Fold.
Z started with the flip.
I know. Yeah. I missed it. Missed it completely.
Did someone pull you up on that?
No. Okay. I just noticed it. I went, that's a bit.
Did you go back and fix it or just left it?
Yeah, no. Just fixed it. Just left it. It's Fold 2.
Good on you, mate.
Who gives a rat's about a Z?
People will know.
I think people know what it is.
Absolutely, yeah. But
here's my problem. I'll tell you straight off the bat.
Yeah.
It's 6 grams heavier. It's not a problem. it's thinner,
but not
thin enough.
It's like a few millimeters thinner.
But
mate, I got to say, the last one, it wasn't too big. Okay. I didn't find it too bulky.
You're a strange human being.
I didn't find it too bulky.
Human being. You can't put that in your back pocket. You're a weirdo.
It fit in my back pocket.
It's going to be a bit thinner, but I worry that that alone is not going to solve the problems that I have with it. But it has a massive screen on the front. It has a massive screen inside. And when open, it's only 6 mil thick. So it's very, very good in that sense. So it's ticking a huge number of boxes for me. But
I've got two words for you.
It's going to be a hip pocket phone for me.
Two words. Flex mode. I like the fact that they've imitated the Z flip. So you can hold it open at an angle.
100%.
That is really smart. I do like the fact that it's got a bigger screen on the front. So I think now you're probably going to be 50-50. Like with this Fold,
use the front of it.
Yeah, I was 20-80. I'd be too small to type.
20 was just really swiping to answer a call or something. Yeah.
I'd have to open it up, do stuff. Now with the 6.2, I reckon it's probably 50-50. you can still big enough to text, big enough to do stuff on the front.
Yep.
And then when you want to sit down and do stuff, do more multitasking, it's here. Watch. What a shame we're not flying anywhere. This would be a perfect travel companion.
It would be. I think that's my biggest problem right now is I struggle to need a tablet much, you know, because that's really when I use a tablet is when I'm traveling. This would be great for, you know, watching content, Netflix, absolutely, stand and stuff on the go.
Camera system, still pretty good. Not quite up to
So the camera system is crazy. There are more cameras. There are more camera locations on this than any other phone in the history of the bloody
world. Three locations. Three.
You got it on the front. You got it on the back. Screen. You got it on the inside.
And FBI, front, back, and inside.
They've adapted the software brilliantly. The camera software is probably their masterstroke here. It will work however you want it to. So like the Z Flip, you can use that flex mode to position a timed selfie. You can now use the rear camera and use the front screen while the phone is open to preview.
Someone getting their photo taken can see themselves.
That's right.
Great if you're taking a photo of your child or something. You know, they can,
yeah, because they can see where they are. Yeah, it's good. It's so good because you're using the rear good quality cameras. Well,
what about the auto framing? That's pretty cool too.
Yeah.
It frames on its own. So if you're shooting a video or something, it'll follow you around the room. Or that's pretty cool, depending on what sort of video you're shooting.
I want to see it work. Oh.
Dual preview is what you mentioned before. But also, I really like the fact that it's got DeX again. DeX is just a genius feature. The multitasking, again, I like how you can have up to three, I think, at the one time, and then change the arrangement. So say you want,
and
you need
screenshot
one,
individual ones as opposed to the whole screen.
That is smart. So screenshot, and it doesn't give you just that little square or the whole screen. It gives you each screenshot of that app as if it would be the whole screen.
That's right.
It's very smart. And it's also got that app continuity as well. So if you're doing something on the front, open her up, and it comes, it's already open inside.
Yeah.
Might I rate this? I think it's expensive. It's $2,999.
Same price as last year. So
it is, and $1,000 cheaper than Huawei's phone.
Yeah, well, that's
Huawei's phone's $4,000.
No one's.
How's that
seen
going, by the way?
It's not going.
But I did a video review of that was pretty well received, and there were so many comments from people defending why they bought it. They were saying, I've had mine for months and haven't had a scratch on it, and all the people replying to it thinking there was like a bit of a club going on there. But I have not seen one in the wild, ever. I never saw a Fold in the wild either, but that was
I've seen a Z Flip. A mate, you know, Jolly, he has a mate up where he lives in northern part of New South Wales who swears by his Flip.
Wow.
Thinks it's the best phone he's ever had. And I have said to Samsung, I'll put my hand up and said, listen, I'll go long term on that puppy. Oh, yeah. I'm a massive fan of the Flip.
There's massive a 5G version now. 5G.
Yeah.
That's also
I've got 5G at my house, Stephen.
Oh, you bludger. I know. You sent me.
The suburbs, baby. You eastern suburbs snob. You missed out.
What about the map you sent me? It's literally down the hill from my house, the 5G. The bludgers. Thornley gets it before me. Can you believe
actually,
it?
Actually, Wesley, not Thornley. Wesley, like, sorry, it's not at the office.
So
that's how close.
It's at your house.
It's at the house, not the office.
What about that? That's. But didn't you say you had to go outside to get that really
so
fast signal?
Sitting in my little man cave at home, I'm getting like 20, 30 meg. Walk outside, 300.
Well, what's
like that's what a brick wall does to 5G.
No good, that's no good, yeah.
Yeah, that's what a brick wall does to 5G, mate.
Okay. Well,
anyway.
Sucked in. I'm glad about
it. Oh, yeah, anyway, so the Flip, I would gladly spend some more time on.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely
like that phone
believe.
Too. Yeah, because you like it's a small.
Small.
Small in
this
your
thing,
pocket.
Mate, this, I'm still using the Note. It's
me too, yeah.
Isn't that funny? We're both still too using big.
It. Yeah. I'm transitioning to other Android devices later this week.
It's way too big.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else are we saying?
Well, that was the Fold 2. We should also mention the two new TVs they've launched as well. The Terrace, which the outdoor TV, which ain't cheap, I've got to say. It's bloody,
$6,000 for the 55-incher.
That's solid.
$11,000 for 75-incher.
It's got IP55, so it's waterproof.
You could basically, if you're spraying the garden, you could accidentally spray the TV.
You could hose your TV.
Yep.
There's also, it has this anti-glare, anti-reflective layer on it.
So in the back of the TV, There's a compartment that comes off, which is where you connect all your cords. There's enough space in there for like a Chromecast or an Apple TV.
Oh, wow.
So like actual space in there for a box, and there's an insulated area for the cables to come out.
Right.
But I did this on the Today Show this morning. There was direct sunlight coming from a rising sun, and I'm telling you, it was mind-blowing. This TV is three times brighter than your best Samsung.
Yeah, wow.
So the brightness is crazy. The anti-glare is unbelievable. Like, I legit was blown away by this TV.
Wow. I think this is, I reckon it's a really good product for Australians too. Like we're an outdoor, culture. We live outdoors entertaining and that.
Bottom line, this it's just sad. It's such a high price.
It is massive. I mean, is that because it's expensive because it's they've had to make it waterproof and all
yeah,
that.
They've
is
had
that
to build really a big, to, like it's a heavy bastard
mate,
too.
Can't you just get a normal TV and just put glad wrap on it or something?
Yeah, totally. You can. I mean, see, this is the thing. For $70 at Kogan, you can get a cover for a TV. Yeah. So you can put a TV outside and put a cover over it.
Plastic cover.
Just like a yeah, or like a you know, yeah, like a raincoat,
like a tarp.
Kind of yeah,
see through, of course.
No. You just put it on when you're not using it. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can put any TV outside, but will that TV survive the elements of you know
it's
dust
heat,
and things?
But also heat. They said dust and also insects.
Yeah.
Like
insects get drawn into.
Yeah.
You know,
they're attracted to light and all that sort of stuff.
So basically, at this point in time. You're better off buying a cheap TV every 2 years.
Yeah, the weather gets ruined.
Than buying this once every 5 or 6 years, right?
Yeah. Put a cover on it.
No doubt.
Yeah, right.
But
if you're undercover, like it's if you've got like a patio or area.
Like I said, you know, legitimately like, to Samsung this morning, I said, listen, we're looking to refinance a house and do some work, and I, you know, the backyard maybe will be part of that.
Yeah.
If I was spending $30,000 on proper landscape.
Yeah.
You know, patio, all that stuff. I'd spend $5,000 on a TV to do it well. Because if you do it right, you can imagine you've got a beautiful deck, a lovely big table, you got some loungy chair things, you might have a pool over there, and you've got the TV.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, are we watching the footy? Trev's backyard.
The backyard, yeah. I'm coming over, mate.
It'll be great.
Yeah. So is that part of your refinance, mate? You're going to redo the backyard and what?
I haven't mentioned that to Amanda yet.
Okay, whoa. Have you spoken to your bank yet as well? Or?
Yeah, she's now. She's.
You better text her that we're recording. Anyway, while you take that call, I'm going to talk about the Premier, which is a short throw projector, the world's first HDR 10 Plus certified projector. It's got 2,800 anti-lumens.
Anti-lumens.
That's pretty bright. Triple laser. So this is a real competitor to the Hisense laser TVs, which they've had in market for now over a year now.
Yep.
So this is a short throw projector. So it sits right near the wall, can project either a 120 or 130-inch image. So if you want that real cinematic experience in your home, like look at this room here. I've got a 150-inch screen here. But there's a projector up on the ceiling and there's speakers everywhere. It takes a bit of arrangement, but with the Premier and other short throw projectors, it's meant to be able to be used in your current living space.
Yep.
So there's no need to go to the trouble that I've gone to here to get that big screen experience.
Yep.
And with 4K quality, it's also got sound built in too. Speakers, it's got acoustic beam surround sound, subwoofer built in too. So I'll be keen to try this one out. The Premier TV, no price for that one yet. But the Terrace TV, as you mentioned, $10,999 for the 75-inch, $7,999 for the 65, $5,999 for the 55. The Terrace soundbar is $1,299, so you can get a soundbar. Yeah. And I'm assuming you can only mount this TV. You can't have it on a resting on anything?
No, the TV has to be mounted. The Terrace mounts, and the soundbar actually mounts to the TV.
Wow.
It actually kind of hooks. Smart. And it looks, I've got to tell you, it looks beautiful.
Looks
the soundbar
nice.
Looks
yeah,
really
so
nice.
It's great. There's pictures on Tech Guide and also on EFTM, I'm assuming.
Oh, sure, there'll be something at 9 now. Oh, there's pictures,
EFTM.
EFTM,
there
the
you
launch,
go.
But
yes.
There'll be...
pretty good.
Yeah,
it's been
a busy week for Samsung. There's a bunch of home appliances and other stuff.
Oh, but, yeah, they've launched fridges. They've launched a new...
washing machines.
The A42 5G phone. Mm. They've also got the Tab A7 as well.
I don't want to prejudge, but I reckon if we in a month from now said, you know, company of the year, Samsung.
Oh, they're smashing it, yeah.
No,
although Apple's had a pretty good year sales-wise for iPhones. Like,
right,
they've done pretty well. Yeah.
Right, but it's one product.
Samsung have gone
boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
and as we said a few weeks ago, nailed the timing.
Yeah, they have.
On everything.
Smashed it. They've got,
unbelievable.
In the last few weeks, we've talked about air purifiers, phones, TVs, soundbars, now all this stuff. It's it just never ends. I've got an interview on my Tech Guide podcast with Gary McGregor next week coming up, and he said, "Hey, you been busy?" I said, "Yeah, because you guys keep releasing bloody products. You never stop." He goes, "Yeah, imagine how we feel then." So yeah, all good. But
and he's only in charge of mobile.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, tune in next week, Tech Guide episode 416.
All right, we'll all be listening.
Hope so, mate. Two Blokes Talking Tech are sponsored by our good friends at Arlo. Arlo Smart Home Products offer award-winning innovation in their home security. And we are celebrating Father's Day this weekend, mate. You got plans for Father's Day? Got anything? Got a lunch on here.
Really?
Lunch with my parents and Joe's parents.
So I was told yesterday that we weren't going to a cafe or anything because the mum's a bit nervous about COVID and stuff. Yeah. So we're going to go to their place. And she said, you don't have to come. I went, I'll think about it. Like little sleepies. Well,
anyway, if you're looking for some gifts, here are some products you can buy for your dad on his wish list. First of one is the Arlo Essential Spotlight Camera, full HD integrated spotlight, color night vision, enables you to capture all those clear details day and night and keep a close eye on your home. It's only $229 too, so and a very affordable entry point into the Arlo ecosystem, or you can add it to your existing system. The other choice, too, is pretty cool as well. These are the Arlo Wired Video Doorbell. So this gives you 1-to-1 aspect ratio, so you can see someone top to toe. Other doorbells, I've just mentioned the name, other brands of doorbells only give you kind of a torso view, which is if there's something at their feet, you can't see it if there's a package or anything. So you can see your visitors in full and also see your packages if they're left at the front door. And it's got great duplex two-way audio, so really clear, simultaneously speaking to visitors. And when they ring the doorbell, it's like getting a phone call, so it's very clear. So you can communicate with your delivery man or friends if you're not at home. $289 from all major retailers. Arlo, protect and connect what matters most to you. For more information, visit arlo.com.
Stephen, while I start talking, can you take my laptop and charge it somewhere? Because I just realised we've decided we're going to go out after this.
Okay.
And that's when I'm going to need my laptop when we're doing the planning for our big palaver. So it'd just be awesome if you could just charge that for me so it's fully charged when we go out. But what a value episode we're giving, by the way, here, because if you follow the show regularly, you know we have two kind of ad stop downs. Normally the first one's about 20 minutes. It's currently an hour in. This is going to be one heck of a show. But we'll rattle through the rest because there's a bit going on, but we'll kind of touch on them because they are tech news of the week. The COVID Safe app and the Apple Google Exposure Notification Framework are in the news again because iOS 13.7 was released to the public yesterday, not the beta, anything. This was a public release. Now, if you go, it actually doesn't tell you anything, say anything, do anything as you download it, but those who look will find that in the settings, there's now an exposure notification setting. And you can turn that on. And when you go to turn it on, you choose Australia, it says it's not available in Australia.
Not available in Australia, I saw that.
And you think, why? What the hell's going on there? So, long story short, the Apple Google Exposure Notification Framework is meant to be used either with a government app or just by health authorities themselves. It requires the health authorities to opt in and go, yes, we want it, and you know, program some information like logos and contact numbers so that when people are exposed and notified, they know who to call. The problem is we've already got an app. It's already running and the Apple Google system essentially creates a different style of contact tracing to that which we have today. And I'll try and simplify it. I had a COVID test again yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I woke up in the morning with a bloody cough and I thought I've got a town line in the morning. I've got Stephen. I can't have a day coughing on people. So I'll get the test and I did it. I got the result last night. Negative. But if I was positive, they would have said to me, who've you seen? Where have you been? And I would have written a list and then I would have handed over my data from the COVID safe. And then they would have rung everyone I'd told them I'd been with. They would have rung them all and said, you've been exposed to someone who's tested positive. Can you please get tested?
Yeah.
And that person would have gone, who is it? And they would have said, I'm not allowed to tell you. It doesn't matter because it's private.
Yeah, of course.
But you have been exposed. You should get tested and you should self-isolate. Not allowed to tell you,
but it was Trevor Long.
And you should self-isolate for 14 days.
Yeah.
If anyone appeared in the app list that wasn't in the list that I gave them manually, they would ring them and tell them the same thing.
Yep.
The Apple Google system is all about technology doing it. So the Apple Google system is, if I test positive, the health department presses a button and it sends a notification out to all the phones that I've been near. And it says, you may have been near a close contact, may have been near or a close contact of a positive case. Get tested.
Yeah. Doesn't COVID Safe do that? Won't they send you a notification?
No.
You can send it. You can send your data if you've test positive, eh?
You have to do it very manually with them.
The COVID Safe app doesn't text
you. Does not send any notification.
So you rely on a phone call from medical.
That's correct. That's why we all put our phone numbers into the COVID Safe app.
Yeah, of course.
Now, if if I was positive and the Apple Google exposure framework had 20 people in it that I hadn't previously mentioned, they all got a message. Yeah. 10 of them went and got tested that second. Mm. 10 of them went to their doctor and said, what should I do? Five of them went to the doctor and said, what should I do? And the other five went, it's bullshit. What happens then?
Keep going around here.
The health department, New South Wales Health in our situation, have absolutely no idea who those five people are. Yeah. They have no idea if those five people are aware. They have no idea if those five people have followed up.
These are the five people from the exposure notification on the iPhone. Yeah.
They don't know.
So you're saying that COVID Safe is doing it better?
COVID Safe is a better system, part of the mechanism.
Better system.
And the Apple better Google process. System is, you know, not, it just doesn't fit with the way we do contact tracing here. And we do it pretty well.
Yeah.
Look at New South Wales, okay? We have little spikes and troughs, but we're keeping it, yep, you know, pretty well in track because we can have these conversations. There are people sitting in an office, Defence Force personnel, let alone New South Wales health workers, asking these questions of people, allowing the media to report on where we should and shouldn't go to be tested and all those different things about hotspots. And if there's people walking around who got a pop-up notification. So my problem is, and I had, again, the narcs were out last night at me, you know, so they say, people say to me that the Apple system can be tweaked to work like that. Yeah. And I'm like, let's you and me stop talking about this on Twitter. Can we get Apple in a room
with the government?
With the government app developers, without ministers who are playing politics, and just get it sorted.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's make the COVID Safe app work better with better Bluetooth permissions, which Apple can do.
Yeah.
And let's utilize the exposure notification framework in some way, shape, or form. And I don't know how that is, because the problem is the Apple system does not require you to enter any information because Apple's all about privacy. So Apple don't want you to write your phone number into an app, into their operating system.
Yes, because they don't want to expose your data.
There's this challenge.
It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation there. And Apple, you know, they're defending their stance on privacy.
Good on them for that. But in this situation, in a global pandemic, can we find a way around?
It's like when you go to a cafe, you scan in that little barcode, you're handing over information.
Yeah.
Like if you're a narc saying, no, I don't want to hand over my information, then you can't go in.
No, that's right.
So where does the...
And we trust that you're handing over your real information.
Yeah.
I've told the story about Mum's Pub, haven't I?
Yeah.
Like, I set up the QR code thing for her.
Yep.
And she rang me a few nights later going, like, is it working? And I went, yeah, I can see all the details. I said, but you need to keep your eye on people and you need to kind of let them know how serious it is that they put their correct information.
Yes.
I said, because someone...
scan in and I said,
someone wrote Barnaby Joyce. She goes, no, he was here.
What?
Because he's their local member.
So
I thought someone had taken the mickey.
Ah.
But no, Barnaby signed in properly, scanned the QR code, did his thing.
That's cool.
His phone number.
That's cool.
So, I remain a massive fan of the Google Apple Exposure Notification Framework concept. Mm. I also remain a fan of COVID Safe, and I want the two to work together.
Absolutely. Look,
and I'm calling for that to happen.
Yeah, I know. It's just one of those
It's like one of those bloody news things. This is a campaign. We need a campaign here.
Yeah.
But see, and you know what? We go back to news for a minute. We need a campaign here. We need the general public saying, hey, Apple, hey, government, work together, instead of just everyone's a narc. Everyone's fighting because their idea is better than COVID Safe or because Apple's better. Like,
but
stop fighting about it.
It's all about privacy.
It's all
money,
about clickbait
on
the internet.
Yeah.
People being narky about stuff and Apple's, you know, position on privacy, as strong and solid as that is, there has to be a compromise.
Well, but it's like, you know, for Apple, I think that's kind of a deal breaker. Privacy, you can either guarantee privacy or not. I don't think they're willing to cross the line.
Apple, like no
Even
one else,
COVID,
have the ability to store that information on a secure chip.
Yeah.
And it's simple. You know what it is? It's simple. When you turn it on, and I did it the other day with an iPhone, you turn it on and it says Australia, the next step should be exactly the same as the COVID Safe app. Name, number, age group, and postcode. And that information gets stored securely on a chip.
Secure element, fingerprint, like your Face ID.
And then, and only then, you know what happens? And then maybe the compromise is when you get that notification, the button is, are you okay with us sharing this information with New South Wales Health? Click yes.
Yes, yeah. There you go, mate.
I don't know.
I hope Apple are listening.
I don't think anyone is.
I hope they're listening. Do you reckon they've tuned out by now?
Yeah, Two Blokes Talking Tech.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and
Stephen Fennec. All right, let's start the speed rounds, okay? Speed round number one, drones. If you want to fly a drone, you need to get it registered.
I've seen this article. I've not read it. Please explain what I need to do. So I've got a drone at home.
Yes, you have. Anyway, well, let's start. Drones flown for work?
No.
No matter what size, all need to be registered, of regardless of their type and weight.
That's
registers. Registration's open at the end of this month, September 30.
Do you get a
number
plate?
They're not required. No. They're not required by till January 28. Well, it's a similar concept.
Speed cameras.
You know. But I think the whole idea behind it is not is to give make people accountable for their drone, to promote safety, responsibility flying drones. A lot of cowboys out there, you know what that. If you're flying for fun, all drones that weigh more than 250 grams need to be registered.
Mavic,
you've got till May 2022 to do that.
What? Okay?
Yeah, so you got another year and a half to do, or 2 years to do it, year and a bit. And if you require also, part of the registration is it requires a description of the drone, so make, model, serial number, weight and type of drone. Okay. You also need to have a My CASA account, which is very easy to set up. The applicant also needs to be at least 16, okay? Can't be under 16. Right. So for your kids, you'd registered in your name.
Yep.
Also, too,
you need to... I'd let them touch the drone.
Yeah. You also need to pass an operator accreditation, which basically is...
It's an 8-question thing.
Watch a video, pass a quiz, so you know the rules. As simple as that. But anyone with a remote pilot's license, a.k.a. me, will also not need to get an accreditation, because I've already done all that stuff, but I still need to register my drone.
Shouldn't you be required to re-get your license? Like, you know, think, mate, you're old, you're lapsing, 80. Your memory's lapsing.
Shut up. No, I don't need to reapply,
years
mate.
Since you did that.
It's coming up to 4 years ago I did it. 4 years, 2016 I got it. So next month, November it was, 4 years ago.
There you go.
Yeah, so yeah, 4 years experience.
All right, well, I'll log get on into in it. May, in April 2022, I'll log in and get my accreditation.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fennec.
And we do it all thanks to the good people at Netgear, and their Orbi range of Wi-Fi systems are perfect for your home. I've installed the Orbi Wi-Fi 6 at my house, and it's successfully connecting 65 devices at a time.
Only 65? Yeah,
shows up.
You're not even trying.
Yeah, I know. Shows up as Wi-Fi 6 on the screen when you're connected. Works well. Speeds are great. And it has built-in potential protection you can sign up for with their Armor program, so you can actually get alerts for different things. It's a fantastic system, but most importantly, it's built for the future. So that if you've got an Internet of Things-based home, you've got light bulbs. I mean, last night we set up another device. Vivi got a little moon for a birthday that lights up. It looks amazing, by the way. It looks like the moon. It's amazing.
Right.
Got it from Kogan. So that's now on our Wi-Fi network. That's another device.
What does it need to be on the Wi-Fi network for? Is a speaker. What is it?
Alexa, turn on the moon.
Oh, wow.
And the light comes on. That's smart. Like a nightlight for her, and it's
awesome.
It's really, really awesome. And so all these things are connected, and they create traffic on your network, and you want good flowing traffic. If we were still operating with the Pacific Highway or the Hume Highway between Sydney and Melbourne still as a bit of a goat track, it would be an awful thing. This is like upgrading to a dual lane carriageway freeway. It'd be awesome. Netgear Wi-Fi 6 products are available now, and you can check them all out at netgear.com.au. All right, proper speed round stuff. My favourite press conference thus far.
These are like the minute reviews. Remember we used to do minute reviews?
Remember when we used to do minute reviews?
Yeah, remember. Most of the time. About 5 minutes each.
They were horribly long.
Yeah.
No, they were good. They were great reviews, mate. Really good quality stuff. JBL last night had their IFA virtual press conference.
Yep.
Now, IFA, we would normally be Berlin, Crimea River.
It's depressing looking at my Facebook memories. It's all from Berlin.
I've just not done it. So, eight new products announced in 25 minutes. I had the best time watching this. I settled in like I thought I was going to be there till midnight, but it was over and done within 25 minutes. Brilliant.
Awesome.
Two new headphones, the Live Free NC Plus, Noise Cancelling Plus. So these are fully wireless in-ear headphones, 7-hour battery life, 14 more in the case, Alexa, Google, ambient awareness, talk through, everything you need, four colors, excellent looking things. And a very similar product because the specs are all the same, except... they are a different look, the Reflect Mini Noise Cancelling. So these are, the JBL Reflect products are like for gym junkies, fitness gurus, people that are out for a jog or a run.
Headphone or earphone?
Earphone.
Earphone, yep.
with the same kind of reflect design. So they've got that actually reflective material and the hooks in your ear and stuff so that they're absolutely going to stay solid.
Yep.
But again, noise cancelling, 7 hours battery life and the
nice.
Like. Three new Bluetooth speakers and a completely new design for two of them. The JBL Go 3 now has a very different look. It's like a cylinder with rounded edges. Looks really, really nice. The Clip 4 is now an oval instead of a circle. Looks absolutely the bomb. And they've put the JBL logo like big time front and center on these things. Like they have clearly gone and done brand research and said people are very proud to have JBL. Because the logo, mate, look at the logo on this thing. It's
walking
like,
billboard.
Right out there. And the JBL Extreme 3 now has a whole range of new features, including bumpers on the end so that if you drop it. But my favorite are the JBL party speakers. I've had the Party Box 100, 300, and 1000. I've reviewed them. This is now, they've got the 310, which is an upgrade to the 300 with rolling wheels and a handle to get it around.
Much easier to carry our suitcases in.
And the one I love, the new one, yes, when we used to travel.
Yeah.
The smaller JBL Party Box on the go, that's the name of it. The little Party Box with a strap, but it comes with a wireless microphone.
Whoa.
So perfect for anyone that wants to loves a good karaoke.
You need to go busking.
Absolutely. So there's no pricing or availability for Australia yet, but I've no doubt, because all those three product ranges go very well for JBL, so no doubt those will all come here real quick. And you can check all of them out and photos at EFTM.com.
That was longer than a minute, but I'll try to be fast as well. The Sennheiser CX, well, we both reviewed this, the CX400BT. Now, these are your more entry-level, we'll call them, sort of mid-range, mid-price earphones. They're not the noise-canceling kind of $500 earphones that Sennheiser also offer. There's the Momentum True Wireless 2 speakers.
It's actually hard to describe them because you don't want to say they're cheap. They're not a cheap product.
They're quality.
They're like a Sennheiser in-ear wireless headphone for a bigger market.
It's got the same driver as the Momentum Wireless.
And if you can't afford $500, this is what they want
you
to get.
So what they don't have is active noise cancellation. So they've got the same driver as the $500 Momentum True Wireless 2, but they've got really nice design. A little bit big when you look at them, thinking, a bit big, but they're quite comfortable. Yeah, they're very comfortable. The charging case is really small too, which I like. But you know, it's a Sennheiser. So the sound quality you're getting is actually quite good, even at this price. I think they really punch above their weight. The sound quality you get and the price, they're $299.95. But and these are kind of in your AirPods, Galaxy Buds range, and all the other brands that have wire-free earphones as well. But what you're getting here though is really like the audio quality here is a standout because you're getting. Just the clear natural sound that they produce, and they don't over color your music with extra bass and try to make your music sound artificial. It's really true to the artists what they want you to hear. So bass comes up when it's needed. Like the example I used in mine was Spiral by the Crusaders, which is what Christian from Sennheiser he listens to, and I thought I quite like it. I've been listening to the Crusaders the last few days. So this Spiral is a jazz song by the Crusaders, and the amount of instruments you can count that you can hear clearly are amazing. But then I switched over to The Plan by Travis Scott, which is on the Tenet soundtrack. Heavy bass sound. And it just it gave me the bass that the artist wanted. It didn't artificially inflate the bass. It was there if it was needed.
Yeah, right.
It didn't just give you bass for the sake of it. Yep. So I said in my review, I wonder how many artists have listened to their music on different types of headphones, especially the ones that really
It'd actually
over-color.
Be a really good chat, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Some artists, I said in my review, would be horrified at how much bass it pumps into it. I said it's like be like painting a moustache on the Mona Lisa, like be spoiling the whole thing. But what I like too is you can actually customize the controls on the earphone. So if you want to remap the controls, the touch controls, you can do that within the app. The app also gives you some control over the music. There's a bit of an equalizer. You can
it's very
the bass,
simple control, but it's enough for me. That's all I want.
Yeah, but it doesn't really change the characteristics of the sound. It does sort of tweak it slightly if you like prefer more bass to treble.
Yep.
There's that. It has that small charging case, 7 hours of battery life, which is pretty good. 20 hours when it's in the case. Case itself is actually quite small. And Overall, I think these are very, in this price range, I reckon they're tremendous value. I think you, if you're after really good audio in a solid pair of wire-free earphones for under $300, I reckon these should be at the top of your list.
Yep. No, they're a cracking good product. And as you say, bottom line, they're a Sennheiser.
Totally.
That's
and
what
who are celebrating
most.
Their 75th birthday.
What about you said you were, that was 4 minutes, mate.
Come Seriously. On, mate.
4 minutes.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fennec.
Just an hour and a quarter for you there. If we've ruined your commute, then sorry. But if you're working from home, well, we got you through a bit extra of the day.
Yeah, keep walking around the park. A few more laps
in
the park.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We'll be back again next week with episode 453. Thanks to the good people at Netgear and Arlo. Stephen, see you then.
Ciao.